Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. I'm Spencer Hall, and you are listening to the sound of Week 3 college football.
This man's out here throat singing. Is this every game a Big Ten game or something?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just yeah. How long could I have done that before people would have gone? Nah, said click.
I mean, if they made it through the live show recording of your welcome, they will sit through anything.
That's true. That's
please,
true.
Please note, lots of people didn't.
Most people on Earth didn't.
This is, by the way, I will say, a pretty good week. I will just say, most weeks of college football, good by default. This is a pretty good week. I look forward to reality disproving this for me, but I am really looking forward to it.
Can I ask a question before we get started that's not about the week at all?
Sure.
What happened to Vans?
Vans? Okay,
you moved to New York is what happened.
No, they're
thriving.
No, that's not true. Like, Vans
you
used
did
to...
move to New York, bitch.
So aggressive straight out the gate.
You told me it's not true.
Okay, so
you moved to New York.
So you're saying, no, yes, I live in New York. That part is true. But see? Vans, oh. And I'm talking about not minivans. Like vans, like conversion.
Oh, like big square vans?
Like conversion vans, yeah. That used to be an aspirational thing. That used to be a thing that we were like, yeah, man, vans are cool. The A-Team had a van. The Ninja Turtles had a van. I feel like local news was like, the Action News 17 van. And now, like, our vans are not a cool thing anymore. Vans are not a thing that you're like, oh, man, you see Todd got a new van? Look at that. With wood paneling.
First of all, guys named Todd are still getting new vans.
Fair.
Vans are cool.
Todd's never stopped getting vans. You know what Todd Haley has sitting in his parking lot? Big old van.
No, vans are cool because we used to wear them for skateboarding, but now kids wear them even if they're not skateboarding.
No, I wasn't talking about the shoes, and you know that. And
you said vans aren't cool. Hey, I thought attorneys were supposed to have very precise use of language. Apparently, I'm no longer retaining you.
Have I just been fired by all of our listeners as well? My business.
Congratulations. You've taken everything from me, Jason Kirk.
you're no longer partner at Nanny Nanny and Nanny.
I don't even have fan money.
You know where you're living now? In a van.
The revenge of the van.
Yeah, I have a theory on what happened to vans.
Yeah. They got associated with kidnapping.
I think, one, they did have a bad brand, because when you say van, I think of abductions and fatal highway accidents, where that's really it, right? Because you never heard about...
Which is just the Lord's abduction, if you think about it.
You're being kidnapped by Jesus. Come on. Yay! I'll pretend like I don't know what's happening.
I'm sorry.
That was terrible, and I appreciated it. It's like
God uses euphemisms, like, "Hey, buddy, we're taking you to the farm upstate." Like God can't bring himself to say what happened to you. That's how bad it was.
You lost to Kentucky, son. So I think the brand was bad, right? Vans were associated with abductions. Really bad accidents, right? You never heard about entire band dies in sturdy station wagon accident. Sure. No. Like, you know, it was like a cheerleading squad.
There was never a Subaru engulfed in flames.
Right. It was always a van. And I think vans sort of got a bad rap there. Also, vans became the, you know, Krieger on Archer doesn't have a sensible SUV covered in Rush cover art. No.
It's a van.
Krieger has a van.
Yeah.
Right? So I think the brand was kind of bad. I also think that once SUVs happened, America's obsession with gigantism and fake hustle and strength really kind of like kicked in, because Vans are, if Vans were a football player, Vans are a fat punter, right? We'd kind of point and go,
I was going to say Vans are a fullback, where you're like, some people still have them, fewer use them.
Can I go a step further? H-backs. Oh, very boy. Useful. Yeah, but nobody exactly knows what they are, right? You can mod them out in a lot of different ways. H-backs can do all kinds of crazy stuff.
Right.
Right? Yeah. But I think once SUVs came along and people were like, look, this definitely says I got a big crank. Like, that's, yeah, that was, they're safer. They actually blow over at like twice the rate. Right, SUVs are like way more dangerous, and they also increase highway fatalities by simply being larger. Right, I just feel safe up here. I just want to feel safe. No, you want to kill the other person. That's what that means.
I think this is actually a good thing. What we did was we took the van, which was just one gender, and now there are many genders. There are SUVs, minivans, Hummers. You know, we split up the identity choices for
crossover vehicles. Yeah.
Yeah, like now you, whatever large vehicle you want, you know, you have something more suited to your personal identity.
Well, speaking of things that haven't been popular since the 1980s, we're fond of saying that all Notre Dame fans are cops, which by we, I mean me. I'm very fond of saying that because entirely accurate, if we're just going to put it out there, all Notre Dame fans, they're cops, or they're cops waiting to happen. Right. And I've received very little pushback on this, because I think the few Notre Dame fans who actually respond to me are either in on the joke or have just given up. And I respect that. You should give up on.
Or deep, yeah, undercover. Deep undercover.
They're copy. Exactly. I'm going to get in the EDSPS hive. I'm going to befriend him. And it will take 20 to 30 years.
It's a splinter cell. I'm going to slit Action Cookbook's throat.
That's generally my interaction with Notre Dame fans. But today was not that day, because somebody on the internet, some lovely person, sent me my favorite fact about Notre Dame, the irrefutable, that would be the Notre Dame College of Arts and Letters. Badge-carrying Notre Dame students are helping St. Joseph County police fight cyber crimes by executing search warrants, analyzing evidence, and testifying in cases. Literal cops. Literal cops. You can be a literal cop as an undergrad.
An internet cop at that.
Is Indiana short on cops or something?
It's definitely not short on internet crime.
Like, that's my... is that really an issue here at all, that Indiana would be short on cops? Well, let's see. We need kind of a light. Do you believe in kind of a light fascism? And do you like Notre Dame football? I didn't think there was a shortage of people like that in Indiana, but who knows? Ball State's making inroads? Maybe.
Captain Larry Bird stepped down from the force. So...
Captain Daryl Bird, Captain Larry Bird, Captain Merrill Bird,
Captain Daryl quote Larry Bird,
Captain Harry quote Larry quote Daryl Bird, all retiring from the force. Guess we just got to go dredge up some kind of shifty private school kids to be cops for us. This is a bad after school special. This is a coming of age, college age drama gone terribly wrong, right?
Well, it's alarming because if like a 19-year-old wearing a Notre Dame hoodie showed up at your door and was like, "Hi, my name's Sam, and I have a search warrant," I don't know how well you'd react to that. Here's my badge.
Officer Ralph Wiggum here from Notre Dame Police Force.
My dad thinks Ron Palace is underrated.
That, hey, if you
yeah, to, I don't, hey, I if, don't see, I don't see, I don't see somebody opening the door and being like, "Well, oh, as the papers look, all right, take the computer, here we go."
Yeah, I'm here to serve a warrant. Well, I'm Eddie Lacy. Shit. That was my favorite thing that happened today. That's really just me reminding everybody. Notre Dame fans, cops. All cops.
That's why
they
wear
clothes. The only ones that you can like or trust are the dirty cops. Because they're fun at parties.
All right, let's talk about the week. Where do you want to start?
I don't know. We asked our listeners for predictions about week two. And we have a list of games. We're going to kind of pivot off that.
We know it's week three. Don't tell him.
No, it's week three. Dang it. Week three.
I have several predictions for week two. Prepare to be amazed.
Watch this. I mean, this might be out there, but Thursday is the first day of FBS games. It might be crazy. Maybe we could just start with that day.
Okay. Yep.
I don't know. That's a bold start. Are we sure that you're ready for something with this much potency, this much pure sex in one game?
No, we can do it. We can start with a damn it, Ryan, if you want.
Damn it, Ryan.
Yep, that's right. Boston College at Wake Forest, a game that has now been moved up because of the impending hurricane to, I think this game kicks at 5:30 on a Thursday.
5:30 in Winston-Salem.
In a time when people may be leaving or have already left town. So just prepare yourself now for the Twitter smartasses to be like, look, nobody's at this game. And you're right. Nobody will be at that game. For good reason. We're not really going to hate on that. Other than that, the winner of this game is going to be 3-0, and at least until the end of the weekend, the leader in the driver's seat of the Atlantic Division.
Surely they won't be ahead of Florida State, will they? In the overall grand scheme,
surely they will, and arguably arguably, they might have picked up more distance by the time the weekend is over. We'll get to that as well. Do either of you know how far you have to go back to find a Wake Forest coach who finished his career at the school with a 500 or better record?
Do tell.
You have to go back to Coach Forrest Whitaker, Wake Forest Coach Forrest Whitaker.
You are not entirely wrong. Or at least there's somebody with a damn similar name. You need DC Peahead Walker. Peahead Walker. DC is short for Douglas Clyde. He was the coach at Wake Forest from 1937 to 1950. Retired above 500. Jim Grobe, the next closest, with a record of 77-82. Spencer, I already asked Jason this, but while we were waiting for you to get on the phone, Jim Caldwell coached at Wake Forest for, what I say, Jason, 8 years?
That's mm-hmm. what you said, and yeah. Felt long, but I'll take your word for it.
In the course of those 8 years, how many games do you think Jim Caldwell won? I'm sure we've talked about this on the show, and I don't care.
42.
26.
He even went to a bowl 1 year, right?
He went to exactly one bowl. He had exactly one winning season. 8 years.
And you know what? I'm not even mad at Jim Caldwell about that. I'm like, man, that's pretty good, dude. It's pretty good for Wake Forest.
It's not. It's really 20. You think 26-63 is pretty good?
Back then?
It's hard to do worse than that.
I'm sure someone did.
Maybe. I can't
I'm sure his predecessor was probably worse. I'm sure, by the way, if you were
Oh no, Wake you will Forest, not you will not speak ill of Bill Dooley like that, the other Dooley.
Chill Dooley, Bill Dooley, Till
Spencer,
Dooley.
Another thing Ryan and I were discussing about Wake Forest before you got on. Yes, we had multiple concurrent Wake Forest discussions. Was like, what was your first conscious awareness of Wake Forest football?
Mostly as a stat line in some game involving the other team scoring a lot of points and Wake Forest not. Like, they were the highlight team. They were the Washington Generals, right? Uh-huh. In any highlight, they, you know, usually with Florida State or usually with Clemson or someone coming in an ACC highlight mid-game, and it would be like, And here, after three straight fumbles by Wake Forest, Florida State scores on its fourth straight possession with a 99-yard touchdown pass against nothing. No one.
So are we thinking like early 90s?
Yeah. This is some... I will say early to mid-90s, they were definitely like a JP, Jefferson Pilot special. Sure.
Yeah. Because right. I feel like it was... I mean, I watched a lot of Georgia Tech and a lot of Florida State as a kid, and even then, I really don't know if I was fully aware that Wake Forest had a football program.
So I'm going to amend my answer. I'm going to amend my answer. I don't go as far back as Spencer, but I initially said 2006 when they won the conference. I think my answer is more like 2001, 2002, playing NCAA, running a team and saying, okay, how do I get teams on the schedule that are not total garbage or are not like FCS, but I can win? And Wake Forest was a real reliable, like, week two, schedule them. Absolutely. This dynasty is going places.
But did you think that's just like, it's like the private school equivalent of like FCS Southeast, you know?
I couldn't, like, yeah. The only tip off was like, oh, somebody put work into this logo. That's it.
I always remember thinking that the Demon Deacon really actually was terrifying. Like Ray Bradbury, villain, the mascot. I remember thinking that even as a child, because I did not know they had a football team, but I knew they had a basketball team.
He looks like the farmer from Babe.
If the farmer from Babe had a kind of darkness to his soul, yes.
The farmer from Babe does have a kind of darkness to his soul.
Yeah, but not like the kind that's going to turn Babe into bacon later in the movie.
No, that's strongly implied.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean he's like, you know, a demon. It just means he's very hungry.
Yeah, it involved two things which were deeply, deeply repellent to me, which were church and demons. And I got over one of those. Demon cool. The Deacon part's still pretty creepy to me. But yeah, by the way, I do have one stat on this game. Because in my head, I thought, what would you think about these two teams facing off? You would go completely opposite styles. Because you and I both know, of course, that Wake Forest is one of the top 10 fastest teams with the most plays per minute in college football right now after two games. Massive data set, right? But generally, they go fast. So you would think Boston College, dudes being guys, going slow, getting
winded.
They
can throw the ball. They can throw the ball this year.
They can do a lot this year. And by a lot, I mean, they actually are not too far behind Wake Forest in total number of plays run this year. They, like, Wake Forest, for all of the, like, ooh, top 10, they have 175 plays total that they've run. Boston College has 159. They're moving. This is a very different Boston College team. So I kind of thought this game might suck, and it still might, given the fact that, I don't know, might be played in the oncoming winds of a hurricane. But barring that, it could be pretty entertaining.
Damn it, Ryan, revoked.
Yeah, no, take that off. Respect, yes. Wake Forest, Boston College. Respect. This is a quality, underrated aperitif. If it were an appetizer that arrived at my table, it would probably be like, what's an underrated appetizer? I'm just, you know what? I'm just going to go like your standard neighborhood pizza joints, like breadsticks, which are actually just the crust.
Right.
You know?
Garlic knots usually apply for this too.
Sure. Garlic knots are too close to bagel territory for me.
No. Stop being so online. Stop it.
Yeah, no, what was the damn bagel thing this week? Why is everyone yelling about bagels?
Why are you going to have an emotion about a bagel? It's an inert thing.
Jason, the short version is that Cynthia Nixon, who's running for governor of New York, got, I think it was a cinnamon raisin bagel and put lox and something else on it. And everybody was like, what? That's crazy. And no, it doesn't actually matter.
That's where this all came from?
For the record, the bad story about her opponent was that he tried to push through a reopening of a bridge to happen just before the primary on Thursday. And the builders were like, hey, the old bridge might collapse on the new bridge. Guess which one the internet talked more about.
Yeah, well, I think bagels are good, but fuck bridges. Hate all of them.
Cinnamon raisin bridges are the worst.
I think we should caulk the wagons and float.
Let's
fjord let's, the river.
Let's go to some of our bold Twitter predictions. Let's start with Colin Ledbetter at C Ledbetter on Twitter. Toledo sends Miami to 1-2. This game kicks at noon on Saturday. Do either of you know where this game is being played?
The great city of Toledo, Ohio.
That's
which
right.
Which is as far from Miami as New Jersey is from New Mexico. I don't think anyone really realizes, unless you've driven through Florida, how goddamn far Miami is from the rest of the country. It's basically Hawaii. Mm-hmm. So this is far.
I don't know if anybody wrote anything about this, but our friend Cam Underwood over at the Canes blog, State of the U, we had a lot of questions as to why, because Miami's had this game, App State, they had another game. Did they play like Western Kentucky or
Arkansas State?
Maybe it was on the road. Like they've had all these
canceled, but yeah, it was scheduled.
They've had all these weird fucking road games. And I think the basic answer is that around the same time that the Nevin Shapiro thing was happening, the university was kind of cash strapped, and so all these group of five schools basically strong arm them to say, okay, we're gonna do home and homes and you're gonna pay us. And it worked. And it totally worked, and that's why number 21 Miami has to go to Toledo in week 3 for a noon game. It's amazing. And they might lose.
Well,
they might lose.
If your football program is following the travel itinerary of somebody who's later indicted for some kind of interstate racketeering and or grandiose like insurance fraud / coke scheme, you might be the Miami Hurricanes.
It's not even that anymore. Now it's like minor leaguer who won't give up the dream.
or like struggle fam. Like when you're like, the recession was hard. First, we moved to Toledo.
Then where are you going next? El Dorado, Arkansas?
Yeah.
It's a real place.
This is like Foghat's last tour. This is like, yeah, it's not good. It's really, really not good.
And they really might lose this game. I think Toledo is a top 20 team in Bill's S&P rankings.
Bill's numbers will favor Toledo to win outright.
You don't the, just
the, Bill's what, numbers you, will just look at these and think like, oh yeah, Toledo should win.
I love you, Bill's numbers. You're so cold and mean, and you don't like Auburn that much. You're just well, like Auburn, Spencer.
Bill's numbers said to Auburn, you better get 80-0 or else you're going down. And Auburn fans all week were like, shit, how are we going to get 80 points? And then they were up like 60-0, and then it became 60-2, and they're like, fuck, we're going to go down.
Underperformed. Failure.
I mean, you don't just walk into the glass bowl and, you know, push Toledo around. Come on. This is, by the way, this week when I looked at games where teams had gained over 700 or 800 yards, and I was looking at yardage discrepancies to see what the most lopsided games since 2000 were, because, and we'll get to this, Boise State is on one right now, just quietly up there slaughtering anyone who gets within 100 miles of that stadium. The mainstream media doesn't want you to know, but we're going to tell you about it, okay?
Bodies are disappearing in the hills of Idaho.
The murder Smurfs, the murder Smurfs are real.
they're called the murder Smurfs. That was coined by a football podcast. Not going to say which
one. It's an NFL podcast. We can talk about it.
By Bill Barnwell's arch rival NFL podcast.
Yeah.
Podcast ain't played nobody. Fine is the name of it.
Nerds like cartoons. That's why they used it.
Right, yeah.
But the murder Smurfs are putting people, they're not putting people in body bags because there's not enough left. Whatever happens in Watchmen, right?
Sure.
Dr. Manhattan just, you know, looks at Rorschach and just leaves like a some jello on the snow. That's what's happening to people who play Boise. Toledo, though, when you look at historically, Toledo has put some war crimes on the board against people. Just wholesale slaughter. So, point being, they've done it before, and Miami, don't think they won't do it again.
I want to take a second to talk to some particular fan groups out there. The Temples, the UConns, the UNCs, the Iowa States, the Purdues, the UTEPs, UCLAs, and the Arizonas of the world. All you have known this season is loss, and for some of you, that might be difficult to cope with. You might even be blaming yourself, which you shouldn't do. You are not the coach. You're not one of the players. You're not even a lowly grad assistant. I mean, maybe you're a coach or a player or a grad assistant listening to this podcast, in which case, what are you doing? Please do something more productive with your time. Your team is winless. Anyways, these losses aren't your fault. Most losses aren't, because you have surprisingly little control over anything in this world. But your hair is not one of those things. 66% of men lose their hair by age 35, but it's easier to keep the hair you have than replace the hair you've lost. That's why we're here to tell you about 4hims.com, where you get connected with real doctors and medical solutions to treat hair loss. You can get a trial month of Hims for $5 today when you go to 4hims.com/shutdown. That's forhims.com/shutdown. Again, you can't stop Purdue or UConn or UCLA from losing, but you don't have to have the Arizona of hair. Don't have the Arizona of anything. Go to 4hims.com/shutdown and have the Arizona state of hair. Next.
Next.
Are we on to Saturday?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're well into Saturday.
We've already started, right? Saturday.
Okay. God. This game is,
I don't actually remember days at all.
It's so fine. We started at noon on Saturday with Miami Toledo, and now we're going back to 6 a.m. 6 a.m. island time, that is, because yes. Hawaii is flying its ass across planet Earth to West Point, New York for a noon Eastern game. You might say, oh, that's cruel. That's unusual. Well, they have done it before. In 2010, they beat Army at 6 a.m. Hawaii time. So if you're Hawaii, you're just used to like Hawaii is like a new parent, you know, like, oh God, I'm just rolling out of bed at 4 a.m. Fine. Let's play 4 hours of football.
Well, there's no trip that Hawaii takes that's like, oh, that was easy. You're like, right. All of Hawaii's road games are some bullshit.
This is actually
Hawaii Hawaii's like, you know, trophy rivalry games. One is with fucking Wyoming.
Yeah,
just like four time zones away,
and at altitude. So just here, let's put you up in two dimensions, right? Over and up.
Oh, we hate those bastards in Wyoming that are 2,000 miles away.
You know how you play like an open world video game that doesn't have any sort of easy warp, and you have to manually go all over. And at first, you're like, "Wow, this is so cool. There's so many parts of the city to explore, or whatever." And eventually, you're just like, "Why won't this horse go any faster?" That's Hawaii's every football year. Every football year. Oh, God. We left the blue key over in Boise. God damn it.
Yeah, it's like you're playing NBA 2K2018, and it's like, fuck, I need a new haircut. It's going to take me an hour to walk across the menu.
I can't go without a lineup. Jesus. But at the risk of bringing actual information into this, it's not that much of a problem for Hawaii when they're good. It's just not. I mean,
oh, they're gonna bomb on these folks.
Yeah, no, they're gonna put it on these people because, you know, people's Heisman contender Cole McDonald. Cole McDonald is real. If you see a white guy with dreads throwing shakas, remember that's Cole McDonald, and don't get in his way.
Cole McDonald can roll out of bed and throw 5 touchdowns. I mean that literally.
Okay, now, but is that still true when you have to play Army's offense on the other side of things?
Yeah, you can throw touchdowns against Army.
Against their offense?
Hey, if anyone could do it, Cole McDonald could.
Damn. That's next level. He snaps the ball. You're on offense, but he snapped the ball. And you're like, that can't be within the rules, but you can't find the rule.
Any Army general or whatever would tell you the best defense is good offense.
Damn.
So
here's the play. Triple option fake. Ha. Army's pulled back. Let's a pass deep. Whoa, there's a Hawaii defender there. Who is it? Crazy. It's Cole McDonald playing safety. He stops, pauses. Everyone's like, whoa, it's Cole McDonald. And right as that comes out of your mouth, boom. How you like that, Army? That's a perfect artillery strike. 60 yards downfield to a streaking cornerback who's also his wide receiver.
And who is it? It's Marcus Vick, somehow.
Back from the dead. Marcus Fick's not actually dead. He did not.
The best dream I've ever had.
Yeah, that's what happens. And you know what? Somebody would go, "Is that legal?" And what I would respond with is counterpoint: why are you so uncool? Why do you hate magic?
Yeah. Hey man, chill, bro. It's 6 a.m. Hawaii time. This is time for rules.
Yeah. This is actually, by the way, like the team Hawaii resembles most in like travel is an international rugby squad, right? Like the All Blacks, and they do fine. There are things like people just get used to this.
Or it's Street not, Fighter.
Or Frank or Frank Dukes in Bloodsport.
Japan. USSR.
That's, you know what? We're just giving Hawaii. Nick Rolovich will listen to this and he'll get so many motivationals, right? He'll be like, "You guys are like Street Fighter, man.
They say you're not Blanca. We're going to show them you're Blanca."
Yeah. This dude's going to come out on sideline dressed like Chun-Li. Players go wild.
We'll just be sitting there going like, "This should be uncomfortable," but he's got the thighs to carry it off. He can do it.
Now, yeah.
Punt, 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 punt. All right. This bold prediction comes from Larry's Fiesta Party on the House at DJ Jazzy J. The winner of the Rutgers-Kansas game will play in a postseason bowl.
I don't want to go that far.
The winner of this game will be 2-1, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as somebody pointed out, Bunky Perkins, Kansas is going to have a bona fide win streak come Saturday. If Kansas wins this game, they will be on a 2-game win streak.
That was the one I was going to use for this game. Okay. I was going to use at 4th and short with a more modest proposal, which is Kansas with back-to-back FBS wins, which I know that sounds like a modest proposal now that you've seen Kansas win a football game a week ago.
Stop calling it that. It sounds like Kansas is like, "Let's eat children."
I'm going to keep doing it because it upsets you, Ryan. And then I will continue.
Well, they don't have the depth chart to eat children. They can't get away with that.
They're out in the corn.
Kansas'
Ryan.
Last back-to-back win streak over FBS teams.
Oh my god. I'll say 2009.
I'll go 2010.
2009 it is.
Yes!
Oh god.
When they won 4 FBS games in a row.
All right, if you have to take and we can walk through the schedule if you want. If you have to take Rutgers or Kansas, the winner to then go on and win, let's say 4 more games, not some 5-7 horseshit, and become bowl eligible.
So if Kansas wins or if
so here's your Rutgers option first. Let's say
I'm taking Rutgers.
Already?
Yeah, well, I'm just looking up on the board and I see I have additional games pegged as wins for them later in the year, whereas right. Kansas, it's just clean paper.
Rutgers, after this, would host Buffalo, Indiana, Illinois as their next 3 games. They would go to Maryland, then they would host Northwestern. And if they're not bowl eligible by then, they probably won't be because they finish with Wisconsin, Michigan, Penn State, Michigan State. But is it possible that they could win 4 of those 5 games between Buffalo, Indiana, Illinois, Maryland, Northwestern?
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll be favored against Illinois. Buffalo is pretty good, but they could beat Buffalo. And, you know, Indiana is capable of anything, as always.
Northwestern will be fired up to beat those Reds. Oh, that Red Knight. That
but well, at that point,
Red
Rutgers
Knight.
Will be ranked like number 24, so it'll be a big game.
We're having this debate because it's a debate you can have about Rutgers' schedule. Jason is correct. That is not a debate you can have about Kansas' schedule. There is no way they get to a bowl game. I think they win 2 in a row, and that is the victory they get their entire year. But if I can highlight one particularly ugly game waiting down the stretch where I still think Kansas loses this game, but nobody will want to watch it. Like, I just want to pre-bake this particular turd pie for everybody. Iowa State goes to Kansas. And Iowa State this year, that's an ugly football team. I didn't say not potentially good if they fix something, but they are, that offense is rough.
I think I got something even more amazing.
Go for it.
Go ahead.
The Sunflower Showdown.
Oh, God.
Kansas State finally loses to an FCS team. It's Kansas, bitch.
In disguise.
Kansas Dakota State.
We have one more. We have one more noon game. It's kind of a damn it rhyme, but kind of not. And for this, we'll go to John Casillo, the managing editor of our Syracuse blog. He says, Syracuse scores 45 on Florida State and loses in regulation. I don't, listen, I recognize I'm saying this, and when it's wrong, people are going to throw it in my face. I am not confident this Florida State team, right now, the way it's been playing, can score 40 points.
What about on, like, interception returns?
That's, yeah, okay, yes, if they get some turnover scores, some special team scores, maybe, because against Virginia Tech, they ran for 3.4 yards a carry and converted about a third of their third downs, 5 of 16. They then played Samford. The run game only got a little better, 3.8 yards, and the third down conversions actually got worse, 4 of 14. Their pass defense, other than getting some turnovers, was not good against either team. Florida State has time to round into form to figure some things out. But if you're asking me, do I think based on a very bad performance against Virginia Tech and an only little better performance against Samford, both at home, that they can turn around and serve? If Syracuse drops 45 on them, no, Florida State won't win this game.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, what you need another. If I give you 14 points of pick sixes, yeah, I still don't think you get to that total. Especially this is a road, like, just some more context. This is a road game. Okay, this is a road game at Syracuse. This is an offense that doesn't really understand what it's supposed to do yet, and it's a Syracuse team that's pretty clear on how it does things. Is very comfortable doing them that way.
The Syracuse defense is still not very good, at least based on their opener against Western Michigan. But the offense is good enough that they will, it feels like they will constantly be winning the field position battle. So even if they stall out and kick a field goal or have to punt or something, Florida State will not be getting the advantage of, oh, we're starting at the Syracuse 48. We're starting at our own 47, some shit like that. They will always, unless they are turning the ball over, it does not feel like a game where they can just be like, yep, we just won the field position battle all night, and that's how we were able to make things easier on our offense that is real struggle.
Also, by the way, they got, their defense has 5 picks already. So, turnover margin's looking right. Yeah, this is bad.
Plus, we've already decided BC Wake is the battle for the King of the Atlantic.
Early on, yeah. Week 3 is a trip, y'all. It's like 2018 might be weird. Week 3 is definitely odd.
Steve Adazio kind of looks like a merman.
He could be, you know, he could be Poseidon-ish.
Yeah.
Right?
Like a like a walrusy merman.
Maybe Poseidon's personal trainer, right?
Right.
Like that said, he's Poseidon's personal trainer. He's not Poseidon. I just don't see him ever, like, getting comfortable with a beard, right? Like, he's right. Just like, no, man, cheeks. Like, I can't, freedom.
We're not skipping Fin Day. We're just not.
Steve Adazio is—he's in the shape of beer.
Yeah,
he's in your bathtub. You're like, oh my god, how are we gonna keep him alive? Oh, we gotta fill up the tub. Fill the tub with Coors.
Fill it with Coors and dudes. Dudes, more dudes in this bathroom.
Rush back into his cheeks.
He's actually doing a great job at Boston College. That's a very difficult place to be successful. It really is.
Him and Scott Leffler, they got it all figured out.
Somehow. Life is long, and people who, like, you know, fail sometimes succeed later on. It's wild.
Yeah. It'll happen for you, Al Golden, one day, somewhere. Probably not.
I like that we're still talking about the Thursday night game.
Yeah,
it's the most important game we've discussed.
It's just that good. Now, I want to move to a game at 2:30 p.m. You say, oh, what an odd kickoff, right? What a weird kickoff time. Who kicks off games at 2:30? Oh, you know, cops. That's who kicks them off. I'm going to take this from Jay Rigdon at JRigdon5 on Twitter, and we're just going to put it all out there. I appreciate both the precision of this bet, the courage, and the bravery. This is a bold pick, especially this score, which when I say it, will feel so right as to feel like fact in advance of reality. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
From Jay. Vandy 26, Notre Dame 15.
Jesus.
15?
15.
Spectacular.
I love it.
All right. That feels like it's 23-15. Notre Dame goes for a fourth down. It has a receiver drop a ball, I'll say, with having reached the line to gain. So they turn over on downs. Vanderbilt just needs like a couple first downs to kill the clock. They only get one, but then they kick a long field goal to ice it. Yeah, I'm good with that scenario.
Either that or there's some kind of 24-15 scenario where Notre Dame gives up a game-killing safety.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, you're seeing it, aren't you? You're seeing it in all its glory.
I mean, the main problem is that Vanderbilt is not a cybercrime school, so Notre Dame's cops will be useless. Like, Vanderbilt's an accounting fraud school. Vanderbilt's some, like, Sarbanes-Oxley SEC, the other SEC, violating school. They're not cybercrimes.
Yeah, no, and Vanderbilt's only committing their crimes by word of mouth, right? Like, everything's going to be, like, nothing's written down, is my point.
Well, golf scores are written down, but that's it.
Damn it, Chad, I told you not to put it on the back of the scorecard.
You said no such thing, other Chad.
Chad 3. Vanderbilt grads all like Brainiac, right? Like, Brainiac 1.0, 2.0, 3.0, and 4.0.
That takes us to 3:30, and, well, let's just go to our good friend Rick Muscles, at Rick Muscles on Twitter. Auburn beats LSU on a field goal. Feelings, thoughts, intuition, anything?
Well, I doubt there'll be a lot of touchdowns, so field goal is probably the safer bet.
It's very weird to think that this is the game last year that effectively, I know the SEC championship happened, but if this game hadn't happened last year, Auburn was I have to think, in the playoff no matter what happened in the SEC championship game, right?
Yeah, because if you'll recall, I believe that, was it a 17-point lead that Auburn blows?
Yes.
Bigger, I think, right?
Yeah, it's a 17-point lead that they blow in this. I will Riverside that with Drew Frog, who predicts LSU beats Auburn with a pick six.
Okay, yeah. That's the kind of touchdown we'll see in this game, I think.
Exactly. Like, that's...
Technically, that's beating him with a field goal. It's just the other side of it.
Yeah, just like a late 10-6 struggle where everybody's like, fire at Orgeron. Fire at Orgeron.
It's like when you kill somebody with the butt of a gun. Like, yeah, you did kill him with a gun, just not the way that you thought.
This will be my favorite thing, by the way, just to show you how, I guess, overrated coaches are in terms of, like, game day presence, because it's kind of like a presentation. If you ever rolled into a presentation and you worked real hard on it, you go, it doesn't really matter how I feel now. I'm going to nail this, right? Did prep, prepared, did all my stuff. And then you've had those moments where you go, I'm totally unprepared, and no matter how hard I coach myself, this is going to go very poorly. In this game, something like Greedy Williams taking a pass when it's 10-6 and turn it into a 13-10 LSU win will happen. And everyone will go, man, Ed Orgeron, that guy just knows how to win. You're like, no, Greedy Williams knows how to win. You idiots didn't do anything for four quarters and he saved your ass. And we're like, Ed Orgeron is fantastic. I love that. Love you, baby.
Great job by Coach O of inheriting Greedy Williams.
Great job in being a 21-year-old with astonishing athletic talent.
That's how all wealth works in this country. This rivalry game, and maybe somebody's going to get mad that I said that, has had some truly abysmal scores. In recent history, 1995, final score of this game, 12-6. The next year, 19-15. 2004, 10-9.
Wait. Yeah. Go back. Literally World War One.
And we're entering trench warfare. Yeah, here. No,
like literal trench warfare year score result number.
2004, 10-9. 2006, 7-3. 2012, 12-10. Mm-hmm. 2016, 18-13.
Probably an awful war going on at that time as well.
Yeah, some horrible diarrheal slog where everybody's just, you know, has soiled pants and bayonets, mm-hmm. and is moving very slowly through the mud. That is Auburn LSU. And people will talk about it like, this is awesome. Like, oh yeah, this is the way football should be. Get back to me on Saturday after about 2 hours of watching this shit.
So I like the counter programming here on this game, because while this game will have, you know, the score will be a year that a war happened.
Right.
The score in the other ranked game at this time will be a year that like ain't, you know, deep future sci-fi is set in. Boise State, Oklahoma State, set in the year 6548.
A Luc Besson movie is what you're getting here.
Yeah,
humanity.
You're getting like end of the universe fiction.
Yeah, this is you know, the seas have risen and the only high point of land left is a tiny spit of land that used to be Stillwater, Oklahoma.
Inside, a renegade robot who must save humanity by shooting all of the things.
It's like the 18th sequel to 2001.
Yeah, it's like 2185.
2001, the extended universe.
It's named for the total number of offensive yards in this game.
Mike Gundy's head in a jar, just sitting there sipping a milkshake loaded with vodka. Hey,
and I like that because LSU Auburn is a CBS game, they'll still end at the same time anyway.
Yeah.
How did the 10-3 game finish after the quadruple overtime 80-point game?
They showed an episode of Designing Women at halftime. An hour-long one, a special.
LSU Auburn, directed by Terrence Malick. Oh my god, Auburn literally has the Tree of Life! I watched the toilet paper soar up in the tree over and over again.
I considered God's many forms.
Like the hair of angels. It floated in the wind.
As that tiger looks at me... I wonder, am I that tiger?
Oh, God. This is, by the way, this is made so much worse by the fact that LSU doesn't, like, Auburn's not going to have a run game. And you'll be able to, like, and they'll have to do that thing where Jarrett Stidham does too much.
Well, do you remember what Auburn's defense did to, like, a reasonably well-regarded quarterback in week one?
Mm-hmm. What are they going to do to Joe Burrow?
Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow, Louisiana, population 328.
They killed my boy.
Your name, your last name is literally something you dig into the ground.
We gotta bury Joe Burrow before Auburn eats him.
I mean, I just want you to think globally speaking. I know they've been on a run, but if I said, no, it's cool, man. We got to transfer quarterback from where? Ohio State? All right. I know that things have been a little bit better at that position lately. But historically speaking, if I told you, no, we got a guy from Columbus. We're great. I'm like, oh, good. The people who produced Art Schleister. Yeah. That'll be phenomenal. Joe Bowserman.
No. LSU's alchemy is too powerful.
Yeah. No, he's going to be amazing. He completed 10 passes. Against Washington. How could he not be great against LSU, against Auburn?
You got it backwards. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
it's fine.
No, I got it. Fine. Yeah, I was. Yeah, it's not good. Equals not good.
I look forward to the day that feels like it's not too far off when all SEC teams have transfers starting, and they just stop. They're just like, well, let's just use those scholarships on other positions. We know we're just going to scoop up somebody else's transfer anyway.
We're just going to get him anyway.
We're not going to recruit him. That's stupid.
Who buys a QB new? Please, drive it off the lot and it loses a star.
Let me see the Carfax on that Jared Stidham. Who? It's been through some shit, huh?
You start hearing about spring ball, like the punter competition.
Mm-hmm. Because
you know whoever shows up in August is a quarterback.
Yeah, Boise State, Oklahoma State's going to be flames, y'all.
Who? Go ahead, make your bold prediction for that game.
My bold prediction? I have no predictions other than I'm just going to prop my eyeballs up and with paper clips and watch the whole thing hanging upside down from the ceiling. It's going to be amazing.
If the Murder Smurfs pull this off, oh boy, it's already fun to imagine the anti Boise State playoff takes that will start bubbling.
Can I give you one thing?
I'm excited for UCF fans to like, for angry UCF fans to look up and see the whole country like, yeah, fuck them up, boys.
Yeah,
Boise State again.
Yeah, Boise State and Houston, the two teams we like the best. What? You assholes.
Did you not see our win over Pitt? No, never heard of Pitt. Sorry. I did see what Boise State did to Troy, though. They beat up UConn. So did we. Yeah, well, I don't know about all that.
Yeah, but you did. You had a trophy and then you lost it, so I feel bad about that. Spencer, you have a new thing you want to unveil at this next slot.
I do. This is the self-esteem special. You feeling a little down, team? Team A, I'll just call you Team A. Get in a little bit closer. I need to tell you, you're feeling a little ugly? Well, you shouldn't, because there's a beauty to you. You're doing things. You know what? You had a bad couple of weeks. Bad week like 2 weeks ago. But then, you know, you did a little winning. Completed a few passes. You're feeling pretty good about yourself. Suddenly, Mr. Ugly, I can't find him when I look at the mirror, you know, 6 a.m. I'm seeing somebody who's, I don't know, looking pretty good. You know who's going to be there on Sunday morning when you wake up? Not Mr. Good Looking. There's going to be a new man looking at you in the mirror, Mr. Handsome. He's been the same person all along. You just couldn't see it. And you know what you needed? You needed back-to-back wins, and you needed a blowout this weekend of SMU at home. That's right. Michigan Wolverines, you are this weekend self-esteem special, because you're going to be playing a SMU team in something so far removed from disarray that it really can't even be called worse than disarray. It's like some other degree of word. It's something different. It's an SMU team that's three different things at once, and none of them are good. I know that we're talking about improving self-esteem here, but that's not for SMU. You're toad ugly, broke, and in need of some serious help. But Michigan, you need to take advantage of this. What you need to do, whoop up on them. Beat them like they have three asses.
I like that. I like that you came up with this. What game is best to inject self-confidence into a team and fan base that desperately needs it? And you were like, ah, Michigan. They're always lacking. Michigan's always lacking in belief in self.
Hey, I'm going to quote Lou Holtz here, okay?
This is going to make the Michigan fans really happy, so please, go ahead.
Sometimes the people who need love most deserve it the least.
Sometimes.
Yes. Sometimes. Boy, when you say, I'm going to quote Lou Holtz here, everybody just runs for the doors, right? Is this a political quote? Is this about demographics in America?
Or any ethnicities mentioned? Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Vote Lou Holtz for governor of Florida.
Here's the thing about child labor.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, the self-esteem special this week, it's SMU. You're going to feel real good when this game is done, especially because their quarterback situation's, you're familiar. It's not very good.
You have another new thing to talk about. You had all sorts of plans this week.
I do.
Were you bored? Were the kids too good?
No. I was actually excited. That was not the case at all. I was just actually excited about week three, the correct week. And it's this. I've got the Runaway Beer Truck Special. The Runaway Beer Truck Special. Kicking off at the odd hour of 4 p.m. That's how you know scary things are afoot.
That shift change at the police station.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Some guys will have the trousers around their ankles while you're robbing the bank, North Texas. Where are the cops? Yeah, they're going to take another 2 minutes to get the drawers up. Get on out the door. And that 2 minutes, you'll need it to escape with the steal of a win that you stole out of the vault of the Arkansas Razorbacks. That's right. North Texas at Arkansas. If you compare them, like, using smart people stats, I don't know, like Bill Connelly's.
Bill Connelly's patented NFL stats.
His patented NFL stats applied to college. North Texas and Arkansas, neck and neck, man. They're like right there. And when two teams are this even, you go, well, what am I going to use to determine which team is going to win? Well, I don't know. Maybe the one that didn't lose to Colorado State last week in Colorado. Team's not even in their division. Not really even in their league when you consider how they do things. Do you think...
To the best of the full cast knowledge, Colorado State is off this week and is not playing a game, and we won't talk about it further.
Not playing a... How's this? They're not playing anyone we have to worry about for a couple of years. Correct.
God, Colorado State might finish higher in the SEC than Florida.
That's fine. Do you know, if Arkansas and Florida lose to Colorado State, you know whose fault that is? Arkansas and Florida.
Yeah.
People hey, get mad know why at you. You have to play Colorado State this weekend?
No.
Because you traded a game contract for Jim McElroy.
All we do is win.
You said, hey, give us Jim McElwain and we'll agree to play you. So that turned out really well.
That's cool. Oh, we get a brick in the teeth too? Awesome. That'd be great. We have to write you a check? Cool. It's perfect. This plan was brilliant.
I'm reminded of how many people were victimized by the mortgage industry in the early 2000s, given deals that the banks knew they couldn't afford. You are our balloon mortgage, Jim McElwain.
Fantastic. Just watch those buttery teeth float on into the distance with our credit.
Can we preview the next two games as a unit, a singular unit? Because I think they are basically the same game.
Yeah, I agree. This is a bold move and I approve.
Houston, ahead. Texas Tech. Big passing, big scores, wide open receivers streaking up and down the field. Basically a Big 12 game. You'll also see that in Alabama Ole Miss. Between these two games, we have four teams that just get out there and air the ball out and sling the thing around. No regard for defense, racking up yards, big old totals, basketball Can I give you- scores.
And that's why these coaches can't succeed in the NFL.
Not a single one of these four coaches. Well, mm-hmm. To be fair, Cliff Kingsbury was with the Patriots for a while.
Easily the most attractive quarterback on that roster.
But these other four coaches, no NFL success whatsoever.
Let me give you the best score prediction, which I would apply to both games, by the way. This is from Waddle season at Zajax 11. Jordan Tamu will give Alabama absolute hell, but Tua Tagovailoa will unleash the wrath of God on Ole Miss's defense. 75-49. And I think that's the score in both of these games.
75-49.
Yeah.
75-49. It will enrage Nick Saban. And that's why you should watch that game.
It's extremely on Alabama. Alabama can win games when they allow a lot of points. They're like, I looked it up and I think they're like 5-6 over the last like 5 years when they allow 25 points or more. But those are usually close games. Those are usually like 30-26 or something. There's only a couple of those where they've won pretty handily. So if they have to put an offensive beating on Ole Miss, Nick is going to have conflicted feelings about that.
Yeah. In this game, if you go, oh man, in those four games, you're pretty sure Alabama's allowed the fewest yards, and you'd be correct, right? But of those three remaining teams, none of which have any lick of defense whatsoever, which of those defenses has allowed the most yardage? Is it Houston? Is it Ole Miss? Or is it Texas Tech?
It's not Houston. I can't think it's Houston because they got to play Arizona, and Arizona's a mess.
I think it's Ole Miss.
That is correct.
Ole Miss feels like a very good, yeah, because they Ole Miss gave up a bunch to like Southern Illinois and gave up a bunch of points and yards last week.
Yep, Ole Miss has thus far given up 1,115 yards good. Of offense thus far.
Good hustle. Good
well,
hustle.
Southern Illinois, that's a Big Ten team, right? So that's not so bad, right?
You know what? If Southern Illinois is the splinter cell of Illinois that that is fighting over the brand name for Illinois, they really need to have some sort of reunification with Illinois. Because no, they're not. They took all the offense.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good at all.
If Texas Tech loses to Houston, that puts Cliff at 1-2, and then he's got to play Oklahoma State, West Virginia, TCU. Oh, Cliff.
Already on their backup, too. Yeah, it's not good. Yeah, that, you know, two games at once, that's some tidy work. I want to go ahead and move to the 8 p.m. special. That would be Ohio State at the Jared Dome playing number 15, TCU. This, again, I'm only going bold predictions this week. This is from Stomping in My Space Force Ones at To the Winslow. And he responds to the picture I posted, which is of the Auburn vaping dog. Vape dog, all one word, D-A-W-G. I think TCU stomps OSU. Final, 37-14. Man, that is, I don't think that's how this works, but nope. I love it.
Nope.
I love calling a shot that, not only that confident in victory, but the margin and the specificity of that margin.
Flip it. Damn. I have one. It's not learned, but it's a good reason.
Okay.
Media college football media Twitter wants that to happen too much. College football media Twitter wants Ohio State to lose. So Ohio State's going to win handily.
Yeah, I think the say hi to the bad guy approach here is correct. I think Ohio State, They're demonstrably better on paper, and they have been playing well. Again, maybe the secret was getting Urban Meyer out. I'm just going to keep leaning on this.
For 3.5 hours a week. Oh, no.
Yeah. You take him off the field, suddenly Ohio State's offense. Stratospheric performance.
There is somebody out there who is writing the loving feature on what Urban Meyer did during his suspension. A lot of quiet reflection, ground some tape, naturally, talked to his family, reconnected with his Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, I already hate this feature. It's not
during
even
his happened. During his 7-day suspension,
right,
by the way.
Right.
During the season, he was suspended during the offseason, whatever that means. But
I did a lot of thinking.
So what is that? 168 hours plus three or 4 hours on game days. So that's 176 hour suspension.
What's the how many hours is it in the movie about the guy who gets the arm stuck?
It's not three digits, right? Is it?
Yeah. It's fewer. There's also the movie where
it's 127.
Edward Norton smashes his own face in because he's going to jail. That's like 30 hours, right?
I think I know what you're talking about, but that's very different. I'm thinking of 127 hours.
Yeah. So we could just remake that movie, but it's about Urban trying to extricate himself from a tanning bed.
So Urban shows up with one arm.
Mm-hmm.
You got to admit, that would be, what's more hardcore than like getting suspended for something and showing up with one arm? Like,
but refuses, but refuses to take questions about it.
Refuses. Don't quit asking.
Nick Saban shows it with one arm, like, I feel it'd be disrespectful to my left arm to answer why I only have a right arm now.
I don't like one arm better than the other.
My left arm did a lot for this program. Not just gonna forget all the contributions it made.
I saw Nick Saban's left arm in the Auburn admissions office.
Yeah, Woody Hayes would have been like, my left leg? I'm glad it's gone. Coward, traitor, commie.
I beat your mother to death with it.
Woody Hayes, all you got to do is tell him it has the word left in it.
Yeah.
I thought about it. My left arm was like a left wing.
I've bisected my whole body.
I've halved for America.
I mailed it. I mailed the remains of my left leg to Vietnam so it could go kick ass over there.
All right, let's talk about USC Texas. 8 o'clock. Yeah. A game that. Yeah. All right, yeah. Are we done? Is that it for that?
That'll
game?
That'll work.
Okay.
Moving along to Arizona State at San Diego State.
You know, wait, real quick on that game, like real quick. There's only thing I want to say. I watched this game last year in person in LA, and it was honestly really confusing, and I wasn't sure what to make of it because these were obviously two good football teams. No. It was a preview of what both would be confusing. And you know who won? USC, because Sam Darnold started to basically just make stuff up in the fourth quarter, and they managed to win. Sam Darnold's not there now, which means the only coherent part of this matchup is gone. So, yeah, just if you want to watch, like, a confusing muddle of two teams that have all the money and talent in the world and don't know what to do with it. Go ahead. Watch this game.
I like if so your primetime options, you can either watch Ohio State, you know, big, gross, scandal plagued Ohio State beat the shit out of lovable underdog TCU. Spoiler alert. Or you can watch like USC Texas do like the fucking what's some band that's on like their 80th reunion tour, you know,
that plays it's like long. That. Yeah. I would just argue that you would watch, you should probably watch hour five of Alabama Ole Miss.
Or, that's true. Or you could watch Eastern Washington beat Wazoo.
Always that.
That I'm kidding. You don't get Pac-12 network. You're not going to watch that game. And that only, so Jason, yeah, that only leaves one other game to discuss.
Ranked Arizona State
hashtag
going to San Diego State.
Hashtag #Remive.
Number 23, I think, Arizona State.
That's correct. I'm not gonna look it up. That's correct. They didn't put it on our sheet because I assumed there's no way Arizona State is ranked, but they are.
this has to be a typo. I forgot. Real quick, one thing I want to do since I've taken up a dabbling in sports betting this year, I wanted to run through the picks of the week.
Oh, boy.
I'm not going to do the Sandman voice for all that, first of all, because I can never remember what it's actually supposed to sound like.
Well, we got to do, I mean, if we're going to do this, we have to do the setup right. I'm going to ask you how you do it on the season, and you're going to give me some ridiculous number that won't be consistent week to week, okay?
Okay.
All right, yeah. Jason. Jason, how the picks doing on the season?
College football picks are 10-3 on the season.
Wow.
Don't ask about the NFL picks.
All right, what do you got this week then?
So, Ohio State -13. They're going to destroy TCU. I'm sorry, Toledo. You're getting 10 points against a team that Bill Connelly's numbers have you winning outright. Boise State +3.5 at Oklahoma State. If they lose by a field goal, you're good. Vandy +14.5 at Notre Dame. I mean, if it's 34-20, you win. I think that's way too many. I think Vandy's pretty good. Ohio at Virginia. That game is now in Nashville because of weather. And I'd already taken it, but sure, whatever. That's fine. I have the under in Boston College Wake Forest at 52. I mean, the game is being played at 5:30 in the afternoon with 20-mile-an-hour wind. I don't see how it, you know, I don't see how many points can be scored, but we'll see how I'm wrong. I'm most confident in this one. Georgia Southern +34.5 at Clemson. Because first of all, Georgia Southern, every possession, they're going to try to hold the ball for 10 minutes. Clemson, once they're up by 18, you know, they're pulling all their starters. They don't need to leave those guys in there to face the option. And again, probably a lot of weather. And if we did bring out the Sandman for one pick, it would be this one. UMass +4.5 at FIU. That is your degenerate pick of the week right there. I laid actual money on that.
Wow.
Wow, that's truly degenerate.
How did that feel?
It felt great. I got that one from Bud Elliott's Sunday morning column. Anyone who has any interest in, you know, learning how to start, or maybe you already do gamble or whatever. Bud is his Friday morning column. It now starts on Sunday and he updates it throughout the week. you can sort of check in, because, like, you know, if you have an actual gambling problem, you start on Sunday when the lines are have yet to develop. You know, you find some stuff you could take advantage of. So yeah, I saw that one. Basically, my main strategy here is to look at what Bud posts, and then to look at Bill's numbers. If they agree, sure.
That's why Jason's 16-5 on the season in college football.
That's why I'm 22-1.
Damn, that one though, ooh, real bad beat. We'll talk all about it for an hour.
Yeah.
Let me also say that I enjoy that you bet on that game because it relies on Clemson's defensive linemen being very angry that they have to do all of this running and chasing, right?
Yeah. Well, like it relies on Clemson just saying, like, just fuck this. Just
like,
get our guys out of there. Just
tackle that asshole. God.
When we get the ball, let's just keep it because we don't want them having it. Yeah. There's going to be four possessions in this game.
Christian Wilkins walking over to the offensive line being like, bruh. We are running. This sucks.